I hope you'll forgive my voice. I'm recovering from a cold at the moment, so I'm a little bit, my throat is a little bit dodgy, but I'm sure we'll get there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. And we pray today, Heavenly Father, that you will open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. For Jesus' sake, we ask. Amen. It's been a journey, hasn't it, with this past few weeks thinking about the Hope Center. We've taken our time, and next week is the final week for us to be doing that together. It's interesting that those two readings that we had read for us today reflect really on the same theme about being able to see spiritually. Being able to see spiritually. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And that's true, that God has to do that work of regeneration and new birth in each of our lives so that we can see God and see the things of God and his kingdom. And that's true also of this passage that we had read in 2 Kings, where this remarkable Old Testament story here of the spiritual secret service, almost, when you see this story of the king of Aram, who's not able to do anything in secret because God obviously sees what's going on. And through the prophet Elisha, the report is sent to the king of Israel. And this really bamboozles the king of Aram. He can't understand how the king of Israel seems to know his every move. And yet it is because Elisha can see spiritually. And this tremendous prayer that he prays for his servant, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And that's my prayer for us today, that God would, for all of us as a whole congregation, that God would open our eyes, that we would see as God sees and see the things that are on God's heart among us at this time. And ever since, I'll never forget, and I've told this story a number of times before, but I'll never forget coming to St. Mary's on the first day to have a look around before my interview to come here, coming to St. Mary's, being on the tube and coming up the station road and coming around the corner and seeing St. Mary's for the first time. And the first time that I looked at St. Mary's with my natural eyes, I feel that something also happened spiritually, with my spiritual sight and my spiritual eyes, and I saw something of what God wants to do among us here that has never faded in my mind, in my spirit. I saw what God wants to do here. It's very much reflected in our vision and values, really, of saw the people encountering God, people loving deeply, living for the kingdom and sharing Jesus. Saw a healthy church, really loving one another, a church that was growing, a church that cared, a church that people felt they could belong to and loved being part of, a church that was always open and porous to the community, a church full of love, a church on fire for God, a church that was worshiping God, a really vibrant, dynamic place of God's people in this place, full of the Holy Spirit. That's what I saw on that first day, just past coming around the corner and seeing this place. And it's always stuck with me, and it's never dimmed for a moment. It is important that we say to the Lord, Lord, give me a vision. I want to be able to see what you see. And I feel that stirring around the Hope Center as well. I keep praying, not just that we would have a vision now that is kind of done and dusted and all parceled up, but that God would give us a continuing vision, that he would give us a vision that grows, that evolves, that moves with what his Spirit's doing, because the Spirit of God is always on the move. The Spirit of God is never static. He is always at work. And what God is calling us to is always, he's speaking to us for each generation. I want to say that with what all that's happening here has been a vision that's been on the heart of this church family well before I got here. Before Alan Comfort's time, there was a vision. In fact, even during David Broomfield's, and some of you will know from previous vicars of the church who had a vision to see something happen over on the site here. I can certainly say, even in David Broomfield's time, who was my predecessor's predecessor, there was a strong vision for work to be done across there to build up the life of the church and to build up the community. And so this is a vision that we've been traveling with as a church and journeying with over a long period of time. And that's why it's a particular joy for us to be able to fulfill that. And we can see that God wants to do something more. We can see that God is at work among us. And this wonderful Old Testament story calls us afresh to open our eyes, that we would pray, Lord, open my eyes, that I could see what you see in our community, in our church. Open our eyes, Lord. Give us a vision, we pray. Open our eyes and show us what you're doing. People in the Bible who had a vision, someone like Isaiah, where he says, I saw the Lord. He had a vision of God. And we do need that vision of God, the glory, the holiness, the beauty, majesty, and love of God, his kindness, his faithfulness, his goodness. That first of all, our vision will be a vision of God and his who he is. That's where the disciple begins, isn't it, with our master. We would have a vision that draws us to Jesus, a vision that on this Trinity Sunday shows us Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all his glory and majesty and power. Our God is a great God. There is no God like unto him. He is so good. It's a vision of God that we need. And even in this time of confusion and uncertainty after the general election, it's a vision of God that we need. You know, whoever's in Downing Street is one thing, but our God is on the throne. Our God is alive. He's risen. Jesus is alive. He is among us. He is active through his church. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's moving among us. He's wanting us to grow and develop. He's calling us to himself, to know him more. And he's calling us out into our world to make him known. And that's the first thing we need, is that vision of God that Isaiah had. That was also the vision that John the Apostle had in Revelation 2. When he had that vision of Jesus, and he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Something remarkable happened when God opened John's eyes and he saw God for who he was. Something wonderful happened to him. He was changed. He was touched by God. And we need that vision of God, and we need that vision also of who we are in Christ. And Paul prayed for that in Ephesians 3, that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know him better, and that God would open our eyes to see the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God which passes knowledge, that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, so that we would see who God has made us to be, his sons and daughters, his bride. The bride of Christ is the church, and that how significant and how beautiful and how precious the bride of Christ is. And we spoke about this last week, where Jesus said, you are the light of the world, the church, the disciples of Jesus, you are the light of the world, so that we might see who God has made us to be in Christ, in Christ. And that also we might see the world as God sees it as well. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem. And as he looked there, he had the same vista as everyone else, but something caused Jesus to stir with compassion and to weep over that city of Jerusalem. It's because he saw something. Jesus saw something over Jerusalem. He saw that Jerusalem was going to be resistant to his love. And that grieved him deeply. Jesus wanted to gather that great city and the people of God. He wanted to gather them as a hen gathers its chicks under its wing, but the people would not. And so Jesus, as he saw his great desire reaching out to the world in love, and yet how the world, Jerusalem, was going to refuse that love, that grieved him, and Jesus wept. And we see many times in the Bible that God calls us to see the world. Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look out to the harvest field. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is white, as he would say, ready, ripe, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord sends out laborers into his harvest field. God was wanting to, Jesus was always sending. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And Jesus calls us to gather, but also to be sent. He calls us to be healthy and loving as a church, but also to love the world in which we live. He calls us to see something about this world, to see its brokenness, to see that Christ is the answer, to see eternity, to see his love that is, he's longing that people would respond to that love. And so we need a vision of God, we need a vision of who we are in Christ, and going deeper as disciples of Christ, and we need a vision of the world that Christ loves, and that he's calling to himself. Lord, give me a vision. Open my eyes, like Elisha's servant. And Elisha's servant, the army was standing outside because they were all. The king was so confused. He was thinking, "How on earth does the king of Israel know I have removed?" And someone said to him, "Well, there's a prophet, Elisha, and he is telling the king of Israel all that is taking place." And so, the king of Aram sends the army to surround Elisha. What a remarkable story this is in the Old Testament. And imagine being that servant, waking up on that morning and discovering around the whole city is a vast army looking for you. And how would that make you feel? I find this quite an amusing story. There's a bit of the comic about it in a way, isn't there? It sends a whole army for one person. But one person in that situation who saw what God was doing, who could see it spiritually. Everyone else couldn't see it. Elisha's servant could not see spiritually. He woke up, and in verse, it says there, verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out very early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded him. Oh no. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? I wonder if that's how Theresa May must have felt on Friday. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. There was a lot of fear there. There was a lot of intimidation, perhaps, and some confusion. And the thing is that the servant of God, the servant of the man of God, cannot see spiritually. That's why Elisha's response is really fascinating. What does he say? Do not be afraid. He is not afraid. Why? Why would you not be afraid if a whole army has come out for you? Do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. How does he know that? On what basis is he making such a statement? And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. There was something real happening. It's not a figment of the imagination. Something real was going on. Elisha's servant couldn't see it. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes to see what's really going on. And that's what I believe we need to see, what's really going on in our world, and to see what God wants to do. And that's why we're having our, why I'm speaking on this morning with the Hope Center, that we would give from a vision. We would give with open eyes. We would give from a place where we say, Lord, show me what you're doing. This is far more than bricks and mortar. It's far more than what the builders are doing at the moment. God is doing something wonderful. God is up to something. God is moving in our midst, and he wants to move more. But he's also looking for a people who will partner with him in what he's doing, to pray, to serve, to love one another and show ourselves as his disciples, to go deeper in the things of God, people who will share their faith, people who will disciple this community and disciple one another in the things of God, go deeper. God wants us to see something that he is doing. I remember the first time for me I began to see as God wanted me to see, and obviously my sight naturally is probably one of the worst here. I don't see well naturally, but the first time God opened my eyes spiritually to what he was doing, I remember when I was at university in St. Andrews, and God gave me a real vision in that place for prayer and for evangelism. And those are the things God put on my heart. He may put on your heart something else, and that's great. You know, go with what God puts on your heart. At that time, God put prayer and evangelism in my heart, and I began to see the people around me in a different way. As we went out regularly to share our faith with others, and as I was the prayer secretary of the Christian Union, as I called people regularly to come and pray, to pray for our community, that those times of prayer and those times of outreach for me, in where I was at that time, opened something up for me that was really precious and special. And I began to see people more as God saw them, in more love and more of what he wants to do. That was the start of my journey. And I was reflecting this week on other Christians over the years who've seen something. I was reflecting on someone like Tyndale. You know the story of Tyndale, William Tyndale, who was one of the first translators of the Bible into English. Now, I believe he did that because he saw something. He saw that people needed to read the Bible in their own language. He saw what God wanted in his generation. For him, it was Bible translation. And that's wonderful. Look at someone like William Carey, the founder of modern missions. He was a cobbler, William Carey. And as he would, he had a map of India up on his wall in his cobbler's, wherever he was cobbling, shop. And he would bang those nails in and put the shoes together. And he would be constantly praying, Lord, India, 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 who's going to go? People were telling William Carey, Lord, you know, sit down, Mr. Carey. If God wants to save the heathen, he'll do it by himself. And William Carey said, no, there's something I can see. And he went to India, and he was the founder of the modern missions movement that we know today. William Carey saw something. Look at dear Amy Carmichael. You know the story of Amy Carmichael? She had blue eyes, and God had also given her a heart for India. And she wanted to go there so much, and she prayed that God would change her eyes from blue to brown, so that she could fit right in with the people of India. This is as a child. God gave her that vision even as a child. Obviously, she woke up the next morning and was very disappointed. She still had blue eyes. But God showed her something wonderful, that he wanted her to have a heart for those people. And she went out to India, and she made a tremendous difference. You know, Amy Carmichael is one of those missionaries we still know about today because she made a real impact for God in India. You think about someone like Evan Roberts in Wales and the revival that was led there in 1904. And God gave him a vision of seeing a church that was fairly, it wasn't a bad church in Wales at the time, but he had a vision to see God do a work of revival so that many more people would come to faith. And that's what God did. But he showed Evan Roberts what he was going to do. He showed it to him in his heart. Look at lots of people through history, whether it be John Wesley or Whitfield or many of these men and women who have seen in spiritual eyes, as it were, God wants to do something more. God wants to do something wonderful. God wants to do something real among us. And we're going to say, here am I, send me. I'm part of it. That's what the Hope Center giving is about. It's about giving from vision. We want to see more discipleship, more love, more kingdom opportunities, more of God's Spirit moving among us. And that's why we're doing what we're doing today, friends. And if you would catch that vision, and I know many of you already see that vision, for all of us, it will work out in different ways and in different avenues. That's fine. That's wonderful. But we want to see what God is doing. And so may we not be afraid, as Elisha said to his servant. Don't be afraid. Lord, open his eyes that he may see that those who are with us are far more than those who are with them. There's a tremendous ending to this story because Elisha then prays for the army to be struck with blindness, which they are. He leads them all into then right up to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says in the verses following, he says, well, should I dispose of them? Should I kill them? Elisha says, no, give them a feast and send them off home. They were sent off home, feasted, and sent away. And Elisha was in complete charge because he knew God. He was in charge because he was doing what God wanted him to do. And today, friends, God wants to do a wonderful work in us and in our town. We want to give from vision. And if we haven't got a vision, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. We need a vision. We need to see what God wants us to see, who God is, who we are, and the calling that God and the purpose that God has placed upon each of our lives. Our main purpose is to glorify God, to reverence him, to enjoy him. That's the one great purpose of all of our lives, to glorify God, and that we would give from that place of vision, and that we would say, Lord, give me a vision, open my eyes so that I may see. So let's pray together that God would open our eyes more and more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, Almighty God. And we pray, Father, that you will open our eyes so that we may see who you are and what you're doing. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we may see your priorities, your kingdom, your love, your heart for our broken world. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we may join in with what you are doing in our community. And Father God, I thank you that as you do that, Lord, there will be such blessing, such life, and such a sense that God is here and that to bless. Draw near, we pray, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes. Give us a vision, we pray, over these coming years here at St. Mary's. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.